so we saw to his rights, each step in turn. Nor did our coming back from death escape Circe. She hurried towards us, decked in rich regalia, handmaids following close with trays of bread and meats galore and glinty ruddy wine, and the lustrous goddess, standing in our midst, held us warmly. Ah, my darling, reckless friends, you who ventured down to the house of death alive, doomed to die twice over, others die just once. Come, take some food and drink, some wine. Rest here the livelong day, and then, tomorrow at daybreak, you must sail. But I will set you a course and chart each sea mark, so neither on sea nor land will come new trap ensnare you into trouble, make you suffer more. I cannot advise you which to take or lead you through it all. You must decide for yourself, but I can tell you the ways of either course. On one side, beetling cliffs shoot up, and against them pound the huge roaring breakers of blue-eyed Amphitrite. The clashing rocks they've called by all the blissful gods. Not even birds escape them. No, not even the doves that veer and fly ambrosia home to Father Zeus. Even of those, the sheer rocks always pick off one, and Father wings one more to keep the number up. No ship of men has ever approached and slipped past. Always some disaster. Big timbers and sailors' corpses whirled away by the waves and lethal blasts of fire. One ship alone, one deep sea craft sailed clear, the Argo, sung by the world, heading home from Aeetes' shores, and she would have crashed against those giant rocks and sunk at once if Hera, for love of Jason, had not sped her through. On the other side looms two enormous crags. One thrusts it into the vaulting sky, its jagged peak, hooded round with a dark cloud that never leaves. No clear bright air can ever bathe its crown, not even in summer's heat or harvest time. No man on earth could scale it, mount its crest, not even with 20 hands and 20 feet for climbing. The rock so smooth, like dressed and burnished stone. And halfway up that cliffside stands a fog-bound cavern gaping west towards Erebus, realm of death and darkness. Past it, great Odysseus, you should steer your ship. No rugged young archer could hit that yawning cave with a winged arrow shot from off the decks. Scylla lurks inside it. The yelping horror, yelping. No louder than any suckling pup, but she's a grisly monster, I assure you. One could look on her with any joy, not even a god who meets her face to face. She has 12 legs, all writhing, dangling down, and 6 long swaying necks, a hideous head on each. Each head barbed with a triple row of fangs, thick set, packed tight, armed to the hilt with black death. Holed up in the cavern's bowels from her waist down, she shoots out her heads out of that terrifying pit, angling right from her nest, wildly sweeping the reefs for dolphins, dogfish, or any bigger quarry she can drag from the 1,000 Amphitrite spawns in groaning seas. No mariners yet can boast they've raced their ship past Scylla's lair without some mortal blow. With each of her 6 heads, she snatches up a man from the dark, proud craft and whisks him off. The other crag is lower, you will see, Odysseus. though both lie side by side, an arrow shot apart. Top it a great fig tree rises, shaggy with leaves. Beneath its awesome, Charybdis gulps the dark water down. 3 times a day, she vomits it up. 3 times she gulps it down. That terror. Don't be there when the whirlpool swallows down. Not even the earthquake god could save you from the disaster. No. Hug Skyler's crag. Sail on past her. Top speed. Better by far to lose 6 men and keep your ship loose than your entire crew. Yes, yes, but tell me the truth now, goddess, I protested. Deadly Charybdis, can't I possibly cut and run from her and still fight Skyler off when Skyler strikes my men? So stubborn, the lovely goddess countered. Hell-bent yet again on battle and feats of arms? Can't you bow to the deathless gods themselves?